Purport and Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advises yagyartatkarmano yatra loko yam karma bandana. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to the material world. Generally, everyone is attached to hard labor for becoming happy in the material world, but although various activities are going on all over the world simply for the sake of happiness, unfortunately only problems are being created from such fruitive activities. Therefore, it is advised that active persons engage in activities of Krishna consciousness, which is called yajna, because then they will gradually come to the platform of devotional service. Yajna means Lord Vishnu, Yajna Purusha, enjoyer of sacrifices. The Supreme Personality of God is actually the enjoyer, and therefore if we begin our activities for his satisfaction, we will gradually lose our taste for material activities. Sūta Gosvāmī declared to the great assembly of sages at Naimisaranya, "O best among the twice born, it is included that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the Lord Hari. According to Vedic principles, everyone must act according to his classification as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. Everyone should progress towards perfection by acting in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. One cannot please Krishna by sitting idly. One must act according to the directions of the spiritual master for the sake of pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then one will gradually come to the stage of pure devotional service. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, knowledge of self-realization, even though freed from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of the conception of the infallible. Gyanis recommend that one adopt naishkarmya by not doing anything, but simply meditating and thinking of Brahman, but this is impossible unless one realizes Parabrahman Krishna. If there is no Krishna consciousness, any kind of activity, be it philanthropic, political, or social, simply causes karma, bandhana, bondage to material work. As long as one is entangled in karma, bandhana, one must accept different types of bodies that spoil the human form of facility. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, karma yoga is recommended. For one who is a neophyte in the yoga system, work is to be the means, and for one who has already attained to yoga, cessation of all material activities is said to be the means. One who restrains the senses and organs of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. One should act for Krishna very seriously in order to become fully Krishna conscious, and should not sit down to imitate such great personalities as Haridas Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur condemned such imitation. He said, "My dear mind, what kind of devotee are you? Simply for cheap adoration, you sit in a solitary place and pretend to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but it is all cheating." Recently in Mayapur, an African devotee wanted to imitate Haridas Thakur, but after 15 days, he became less restless and went away. Do not suddenly try to imitate Haridas Thakur. Engage yourself in Krishna conscious activities and gradually you will come to the stage of liberation. Translation, therefore, to engage people to reach the stage of activities that are not tinged by fruit of results, great saints first engage people in fruit of activities. For unless one begins by performing activities as recommended in the Shastras, one cannot attain the stage of liberation, or activities that produce no reaction. So this sounds a little bit contradictory. By engaging in action, then we reach the stage of no action. So here it is stated that the great sages, the rishis, first of all, advocate doing activities, karma ihante akarma hetave, to get no karma. How is that possible? Because all activities in the material world produce results, normally. We have several processes of doing that. As Prabhupada mentions in the purport, one is to stop activities, which is not the activity here and recommended, in order to get rid of your karma. That is minimization of your actions, as in jnana and yoga. But here, another thing is recommended. You engage in activities in order to reach the stage of no karma. So, how is that possible? So, there are two procedures of action. The lower one is karma yoga. Karma yoga obviously means action. So it is doing activities with certain restrictions, rules and regulations. You can eat, but then you have to eat certain foods and not other foods. The restriction is there. You can engage in family life, but there's rules for family life. You can do activities in work and get money, but there's rules for work. So there's rules for everything. So some restriction is there. You can't just do anything you want. At the same time, it is also according to qualifications. So therefore, we get different sets of rules for sudras, different rules for vaishyas, different rules for kshatriyas, different rules for brahmanas. So it's a little bit merciful. It allows you some freedom there, according to varna. And then according to age. Young people study, middle people work, other people retire, older. So according to that also, we have ashramas and rules for that also. So that is the varnashram system. So it is karma. Does it create akarma? Not directly, no. It creates good karma. Simply by doing those activities, you do not remove your karmas, but you get good karmas as opposed to bad karmas. It minimizes your sin, increases your punyas, so you can live comfortably life after life. So it's not directly a cause of akarma. But it is a step towards that. And so in that sense, it is recommended. That actually is the purpose of karma yoga, as a step towards akarma. If that goal is not there and we only do karma yoga, then it is a failure. So therefore, we have to think of this karma yoga system recommended in the scriptures as simply one step towards a higher yoga. So therefore, this is a preliminary stage of doing activities which will lead later to akarma. So this activity has several stages. We have sakama karma yoga and we have nishkama karma yoga. Sakama karma is lower because we do all these different activities of the varnashram system with material motivation for enjoyment in the material world. Anyway, the whole goal of that is eventually, after many lifetimes, following all those rules and regulations, you become detached from getting the enjoyment. And then you do nishkama karma yoga. And this takes you up into sattva gun. We try not to be attached to the results of our activities that we're doing in the varnashram system. Then we're situated in sattva gun. If we are steady in sattva gun, then we become qualified for the higher yogas. Jnana yoga, astanga yoga, bhakti yoga. So, that is the purpose of engagement and activities. So once you've attained this stage of sattva gun karma yoga, then you can go to jnana yoga. No activities. And you reach the state of akarma. Destroy the results of your activity, you get liberation. Same with yoga. So that is, those are two processes of reaching the akarma stage. The third process is the bhakti yoga process, which is highest process, because it is beyond the gunas, nirguna, whereas jnana is sattva guna. It's a sattva guna process, though it leads to nirguna result, that is liberation. In itself, it is sattva guna. So, bhakti is nirguna. So, after doing jnana and yoga, you should come to bhakti. So, they are not final goals, even though they give liberation, impersonal liberation. So, they're not actually the final goal. One has to go from getting akarma stage to bhakti. In one sense, it is suitable because bhakti itself is nirguna. And if you get the results of jnana and yoga, it should be nirguna also. You should be beyond the gunas. So then you're qualified for bhakti at that stage. However, the negative factor there is that by practicing jnana or yoga, if your goal is to merge in Brahman, then it becomes unfavorable. And therefore, those people stop and they don't go any further. They don't get the highest process. Because they think bhakti is inferior process. They think it is all with karma. So they actually don't complete the process. So they should come to bhakti. However, though bhakti is the highest process and there's a natural progression through karma yoga, in sakama karma yoga, nishkama karma yoga, then jnana, then yoga, and then bhakti, that's gradual process and you should come to that result finally. Other process is just do bhakti yoga. Right. So, bhakti yoga also involves karma, in one sense, activities. One engages in activities. And the result is akarma. So this is the only process that actually works. The karma yoga process actually does not produce akarma directly. Jnana and yoga attempt to get rid of all of their activities, not engage in activities to get the akarma stage. Bhakti is do the activities and get the akarma stage directly. So, however, these activities of so-called karma activities are not varnashramic activities. They're not, regulated activities according to varna, etc. That's not what is meant here when we say engage in activities. These are the activities of bhakti in which we engage our senses, hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. These are the bhakti activities. Someone in the karma yoga system may do these activities also, secondarily or whatever. But these are the primary activities of bhakti yoga. Engaging the eye, engaging the ear, engaging the tongue, engaging the feet and the hands, etc. in service to the Lord. So these activities give a karma, no material result. They destroy our karmas. How is it possible? Activities usually give karma. And the answer is these activities are not material activities. And material activities definitely give results. If we do spiritual activities, we don't get any material results, no karma. How can an activity using the hands and the legs, which are material things, be spiritual activity? Because of dedication of those activities to the Supreme Lord. Suddenly, those activities lose their material character when they are directed favorably towards the Lord. Suddenly, no longer material activity. Looks like material activity because we're using our body and whatever. No, it's not material. It is nirguna. So I said bhakti is nirguna. That means all the activities of bhakti are nirguna, beyond the gunas. So they don't give material results. They do not give karma. More particularly, they destroy the previous karmas. So by activity, we don't accrue karma, plus we destroy all the other karmas that were accrued in the past. So normally a person, any person living, has karmas which he has to experience his lifetime. These are called prarabdha karmas, to be experienced now. They are beginning in this lifetime. So you get accidents, you get sick, you lose a job, etc. These are bad karmas. Good karmas are you get a promotion, etc. So you get two types of karmas in your life. These are prarabdha karmas. If we were not to do any activity and just enjoy the results of our activity in this lifetime, we would not get liberated. Why? Because other karmas waiting for us from previous lifetimes. These are called aparabdha karmas. So not all of our karmas are expended in this lifetime. Previous activities give karmas, and they're waiting for us for future lifetimes. not just next lifetime, next lifetime, next time. Some are going in many, many lives in the future, these karmas. And they're all waiting for you in this lifetime, but they're not going to come in this lifetime. They'll come in future lifetimes. Yeah? And meanwhile, in this lifetime, we also do activities. And we're creating new karmas as well. So we got the old karmas, and we also got new karmas for future lifetimes. So it's very difficult to get rid of your karmas. Very, very difficult. So, the karma yoga system does not attempt to get rid of your karmas, but modify them into good karmas instead of bad karmas. And then, by doing nishkama karma yoga, we get to sattva gun, and then we begin processes of destroying the karmas through jnana, yoga, or bhakti. So, the process of bhakti will destroy it. In other words, by doing bhakti, we do not create new karmas. Plus, it destroys all the other karmas, all the prarabdha karmas of this lifetime. Future karmas, experiences you're going to get destroyed. Plus, all of the waiting karmas, the aparabdha karmas that are waiting for a future lifetime, also get destroyed. Yeah? So in this way, all of the karmas, past, present, future, get destroyed by the process of bhakti. This does not occur in any other process. Karma yoga does not destroy the karmas, just makes good karmas. So we still have aparabdha karmas, prarabdha karmas, but they're mainly good karmas. Jnana and yoga, they can destroy the karmas, not the prarabdha karmas, the aparabdha karmas. So after this lifetime's karmas are over, if you perfect yoga or jnana, then you get liberation because no more karmas are left. But it takes many lifetimes to do that, to get that perfection. So you can't do it in one lifetime. Over many lifetimes, gradually destroy all your aparabdha karmas. Still, your prarabdha karmas are there. Then you wait for those, when you end your life, then you get your liberation. Bhakti destroys the aparabdha and the prarabdha. So it is more powerful. And it does it quicker. How quick? For the jnanis and yogis, many, 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 many lifetimes. They have to go before they get their liberation. Ajamil was not even a devotee and he chanted the accident in the name of Narayan and immediately, past, present, future is all, prarabdha, aparabdha, karma is gone, finished. 1 second, all of his karmas are gone. And that is accidental bhakti. So if we have deliberate bhakti, intentional bhakti, then how much more result we get? So there's many stories to that, not just chanting the holy name. We get accidental bhakti. The little mouse was in the deity room, running around the deity room. He's hungry. And then he saw the ghee lamp. So he nibbled on the ghee lamp. And it was a little bit, smoking. And when he nibbled it and touched it, it burst into flame. And it lit up the deity. So because he lit up the deity, it was a service to the Lord accidentally. He got liberation. All his karmas were destroyed and got liberation. Something like that. Or another story of a drunkard. He was a drunk man. And unfortunately, he was drunk in front of a temple, in front of a deity. Yeah? And so he began dancing in his drunken state. And he's waving his cloth around. So, because it resembled a flag, it was like the flagpole in front of the, raising the flag in front of the deity, so he got liberation. Unintentional, of course. So therefore, the even accidental bhakti activities can destroy all your karmas instantaneously. What to speak of? Intentional activities. So it's not a big thing to destroy karmas in the process of bhakti. So that is one of the unique features of bhakti. However, that is not the goal of bhakti at all, because then you only get liberation. So that is why, yes, you can destroy your karmas like Ajamil, but that he doesn't get bhakti by that. He doesn't get prema. He doesn't go to Vaikuntha by that. simply by chanting the holy name accidentally. Yeah, he gets liberation, finish. But devotee doesn't want that. Devotee goes further, and he chants with devotion, not accidentally, and he develops prema. Then he goes to the spiritual world, and he serves the Lord in a spiritual body eternally. He gets prema, and he gets bliss in the spiritual world. So he doesn't care for liberation. In fact, liberation becomes unfavorable. And therefore we say that anya abhilasha shunya, jnana karma dinavratam, pure bhakti should be not covered by jnana, impersonal liberation desires, or by karma, karma yoga with desires for happiness in material life, or svarga loka, or brahma loka, etc. Those are obstacles, or can become obstacles to bhakti. So therefore the devotee doesn't aim for getting free of his karmas, etc. So that is an elementary thing, that we get rid of our karmas instead here, a karma hetave, engage in activities to get rid of our karmas. So the bhakta engages in activities of bhakti, which are non-material, as a side effect. Yes, all of the karmas are destroyed, and he's qualified for liberation. More than that, he gets service in the spiritual world eternally. That's his goal. So it is quite different from the other things. So as I mentioned, there was this Nirihim is here. It's actually in the previous verse, it talked about the Lord being Niriha. The Lord creates a material world, but he's also without activity. He doesn't do anything. Because he never does material activities. But he does spiritual activities in the spiritual world. So therefore, through the process of jnana and yoga, one can become niriha in the sense of no more material karmas, etc. But if one does bhakti, one becomes niriha, no material activities, but spiritual activities, like the Lord. So this is the actual process we should follow. Not the end with karma yoga, jnana yoga, or astanga yoga, but come to the process of bhakti yoga. So, of course, we can say, well, we can only do bhakti yoga after we've gone through karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, because it's the final thing, after sattva-gun. So we have to be qualified by sattva-gun, then we can do bhakti. Or we have to qualify with liberation, no karma, then we can do bhakti. As said in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhurva Sanatma, then you qualified for bhakti. But that may be true, yes. But we see the case of Ajamil. No varnashram, nothing. And he accidentally chants and he gets this result. And if we do bhakti, we get more result. So, if a person inside or outside the varnashram system performs real bhakti or accidental bhakti, they get very great results. So by doing accidental bhakti, immediately we're purified. We're beyond the gunas already. Therefore, we can also do bhakti. So that was anybody in the gunas can do bhakti because immediately by the process of bhakti, he's purified. He gets beyond the gunas because the acts of bhakti are nirguna. This does not mean that immediately he is liberated in the sense that he goes to get out of the material world immediately. But what it means is that when he performs any act of bhakti sincerely, it is definitely nirguna. At that time, he is beyond the material world, the material gunas, etc. And he is also destroying all of these karmas, etc. So, therefore, the process of bhakti is very unique. It is the highest process, but also everybody can do it and get great advantage from it, get great results from it. So simply destroying karma is a side effect. It's a minor effect of bhakti. It is not the aspiration of the devotee at all. The aspiration of the devotee is to do karmas for the Supreme Lord eternally, to do activities for the Lord eternally. These activities, the activities of bhakti, do not create karma. They destroy material karma. But they do give a result. And what is that result? increase of bhakti, increase of bliss. And so that is the result in the spiritual world. Doing activities, the result is more bliss, more pastimes with the Supreme Lord. So this is the process that is followed and recommended in the scriptures. Well, are they the same? Nishkama Karma Yoga, what is it? Doing your activities in the Varnashram system to support your material body. So that's not bhakti. Activities of bhakti are hearing the name of the Lord, serving, doing deity worship of the Lord, taking prasadam, etc. As I say, people in the Varnashram system may also do those activities, but they're doing bhakti activities within the Varnashram system. The Varnashram system itself is Varnas and Ashramas. Do your duties of Varna. If you say, well, I'm doing my Brahminical duties by chanting Hare Krishna. No, you're not a Brahmin. You're a devotee. If you're a Brahmana, what would you do? You would have to follow the activities of the Brahmana. That is, what is the activities of a Brahmana? Learning the Vedas, teaching the Vedas, doing these activities. And not accepting a profession. And if you're Kshatriya, what do? You take control of a village. You lead the village and do all those activities that are required for taking care of people, protecting the population. Yeah, that's your activity. That's the Varna activity as such. If there's no worship of the Lord, of course, these are all useless. And they can't even give you Svarga Loka. So there has to be recognition of the Lord. If there's aparad towards the Supreme Lord in any of these Varna Ashram activities, you don't get anything. So you also have to recognize Vishnu in the system. In that sense, there's a little bhakti there. But we don't call it devotional service because the main process is something else, and bhakti is only a supporting element to give the results, go to Svargaloka or whatever. If it becomes the major thing, fine, we call it bhakti yoga, as in the case of Ambarish or somebody. Yes, he was doing the kshatriya duties, he was also doing devotional activities. So we call him a devotee, we don't call him a karma yogi. He's doing both, but his prominence was hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. So we call him a devotee of the Lord, he is doing bhakti. He's also doing the Varnashram activities. But when they're not prominent, they're only a anga of the Karma Yoga system with the goal of better life in this material world, then we don't really, it's very secondary bhakti, called Gona Bhakti. Secondary bhakti. Then that's not even accidental, that's intentional. They come to the temple. So it is bhakti, actually. So it's higher than the accidental. So they can also destroy their garments. The only condition of this is no aparadas. Yeah, yeah. So it's not pure bhakti, but it is bhakti of sorts. It's mixed bhakti. So the destruction of all karmas will take place, as in the case of Ajami, if there's no offenses. If there's offenses, then that result doesn't take place. It is a slow process, gradual process. Ajamil didn't have any offense. He did not think badly of the Lord. He did not offend the devotees. And therefore, immediately, all his karmas were gone. Nishkama Karma Yoga and? Accidental bhakti. It is similar. This Nishkama Karma Yoga usually leads to Brahmaloka. We get less and less and less desires. It doesn't lead to no desire. If we start do Nishkama Karma Yoga with offering the results to the Lord, which is higher, and karma arpana, offer the results to the Lord, then this is a medium towards getting into bhakti. So you call Nishkama Karma Yoga, Krishna Arpanam. Then we're getting towards bhakti. Even that is not called direct bhakti, it is called Arop Siddha Bhakti. Because the activities themselves are not bhakti. They're giving some result to Krishna. Okay, well, let's offer the results to Krishna. So we kind of modify those activities and spiritualize them. Whereas the direct activities of bhakti are by their very nature dedicated to the Lord. Whereas being a Brahmana is not dedicated to the Lord by its nature, it is being a Brahmana. But the activity of hearing, chanting, and remembering are, by their nature, dedicated to glorifying the Lord somehow or other. So they're called bhakti. And so they had given a different result from these aropsita bhakti, this Krishna arpanam in the Varnashram system. Yes, that can advance you, get you up to Brahmaloka, whatever. And it can lead to bhakti. So that's the good result if we do the Nishkama Karma Arpanam. They may get liberation, but they don't get prema immediately. Yeah. Well, they don't lose. It depends on the seriousness of the aparad. Some may lose completely. If they have if it's all destroyed, then they won't do bhakti. They have no interest in bhakti at all. No interest in chanting. No interest in anything. If they have some interest, then it means their bhakti has lessened due to the aparad. So some aparads very serious may destroy bhakti. Other aparads will be less serious. They don't destroy bhakti completely. But similarly, if people do accidental bhakti or mixed bhakti, if they commit aparad, again, same effect is there. They lose the effects of bhakti. Yeah. Yeah. So this is called bhakti abhas. We have ignorance, and we may commit aparad in ignorance. So it has some effect, but and it slows the bhakti. It doesn't destroy the bhakti, but it can slow the process. What's that? Yeah, bhakti. Well, ultimately, we could say the Durga Devi is behind the Maya, material world. And behind bhakti is Krishna. Bhakti Shakti, belonging to the Supreme Lord. Or you could say Bhakti Devi, maybe, is the personality. But there's no description of her anywhere. Yeah. Well, if it is done properly, yes. Yeah? So we do bhakti very attentively, then as we go through the process of anartha nivritti nishtha ruchi asakti, the possibility of aparad becomes less and less and less. It is still possible, even in bhava, to get the effects. Maybe you don't commit the aparads, but you could get the effects of aparads, as in Bharat Maharaj's case. Why did he think of a deer? Why did he reject the Supreme Lord? Because of some previous aparad effect in the bhava stage. Yeah, but again, Bharat recovered and he got prema next lifetime. So yes, it is somewhat difficult in that sense. It's much easier than Gana. Gana, you make the mistake, finished. You start all over from zero and you work your way up after many, 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 many lifetimes. Karma. You go up, you come down again, yeah? You go at Svargaloka, then you exhaust your karmas, finish, you're back down and you have to start doing karmas again. So generally you don't lose the effect of bhakti, except if aparads are there. Then you start losing the effects of bhakti. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it isn't, then you do these other processes, which are indirect. That's all. In other words, faith is the qualification for bhakti. The other is accidental bhakti, agata sukriti, and that will lead to faith eventually.
Did you see the picture of the cows?